The ascension. I love that word ascension. I don't know, there's just something about it that stirs up encouragement in me just hearing that word. Maybe it does for you as well. But we understand that after Jesus resurrected from the grave, He presented Himself alive to many of His followers. And He was poising Himself for ascension. Now in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 16, it picks it up like this from the New Living Transliteration. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Stop right there for a minute. Now note that many Bible scholars agree that the other Mary was Jesus' aunt, the mother of James and John. Some Bible scholars have some other ideas about that, but largely, Bible scholars believe that the other Mary was Jesus' aunt, the mother of James and John. Continuing on, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Imagine being there and experiencing that. I try to put myself into the context of the Scriptures as I'm reading it, and I try to imagine what my reaction and what my response might have been in the midst of all that was going on then. Certainly we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the benefit of knowing what happened, because here we are 2,000 years later. But imagine what it would have been like to be there. I wonder sometimes what I might have been thinking. I wonder sometimes what my faith really would have been like. And maybe we'll be able to glean something along those lines as we progress through this time in the Word today, to hear some of the firsthand accounts of people who were walking along after Jesus resurrected. Suddenly there was a great earthquake as these two women came to Jesus' tomb. For an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. Get the picture. Wow. The guy must have been doing his reps in the gym to move that stone over. Amen. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. Get the picture. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. They weren't dead, but they might as well have been. How many of you here know that when an angel of the Lord appears, man, you're going to be on your face? Amen. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I believe the Spirit of God is moving in our midst, and I believe that those are three words that some of you here today need to hear more than others. In the midst of all that's going on around us, the word of the Lord for you is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You who call yourself by Jesus' name and purposing to walk in His ways, there's nothing to be afraid about. Amen? The angel spoke to the women, don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Well, He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as He said would happen. Come see where His body was lying. And now go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead and He is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see Him there. And remember what I have told you. How amazing. Imagine being there and receiving that message after having witnessed all that had happened to Jesus. It must have been incredulous in the moment. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. How many of you here have ever been in that place where you're so startled, but yet you're filled with joy? Isn't it amazing what God is doing in our midst at times? And you say, oh man, it's with such joyful trepidation that I see what God's doing in the midst of my life. Maybe you've been there as I have. God's not looking to scare us. Aren't you glad for that? But sometimes His manifest presence in our lives can startle us. But it's mingled with joy because we know that His presence is in the midst of it. Amen. And He has good plans for us. Amen.
And so these two women were startled, frightened even, filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And catch this now, as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. How amazing must that have been? Sprinting along. We need to go tell the brothers what's going on with Jesus. And boom, Jesus steps right in front of them and says, hang on, here I am. How amazing. They ran to him, they grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. What a beautiful picture. Can you form that picture in your mind a little bit? Put yourself in the shoes of those women. What a beautiful picture. And then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. There's those three words again. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, you who call yourselves by Jesus' name and purpose to walk in Jesus' ways. Don't be afraid, even in these times that we're living in. Don't be afraid, even with all that you see going on around you. Don't be afraid, even when you see thousands and ten thousands of people dying around you. These evils will not touch you. Amen? Because you call yourself by Jesus' name and you purpose to walk in His ways. Amen? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, saints of God. Jesus said to these women, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. Wow. How amazing. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. They were going to narc on these women. Oh, we better tell somebody in authority what happened here. And so then a meeting with the elders was called. Let's get the trustees together. We need a meeting. Something's going on here. Let's get the board of elders together. Let's have a meeting to plan a meeting. And so a meeting of the elders was called and they decided to give the soldiers, catch this now, a large bribe. They told the soldiers, you must say that Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole his body. And if the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so that you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and they said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. For many Jews, it was the beginning of a conspiracy theory that has been going on for over 2,000 years now amidst most Jews. Most Jews still don't believe that the Messiah has returned. Some have, and have become Messianic Jews. But make no mistake about it, God is not done with the Jews, amen? God is not done with Israel, amen? And in the name of Jesus, we decree a breaking off of replacement theology in the church, which says that somehow the New Testament church has replaced Israel. Israel is still the centerpiece of the table that Jesus is setting for his return. Amen? Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. It's a place where they had met many times before, so they were familiar with that place. Now, Jesus appeared further as documented in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, picking up in verse 13 and following. It goes like this. The same day, let's say that together. The same day that Jesus resurrected, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Get the picture. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. How could they not be talking about it? As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. How amazing. But catch this now. God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently?" Now, stop right there. Forgive me, because I go to this place of humor now. Because here is Jesus, and he knows that they don't know who he is, right? He knows that he's being veiled. How many of you here would like to be veiled sometimes when you're in your goings along and you say, "Oh, I'd like to be able to talk with this person and them not know that it's me, and let's see what they say." Sometimes as a pastor, I would like that probably more than any of you, because once a person knows you're a pastor, they have a little bit of different way of talking to you, you know. And so anyway, forgive me for kind of the more humorous angle that I take on this, but I try to put myself in the midst of the context of the scripture and say, "Oh, what must this have been like if I was there? How would I have been walking through this and processing through this?" So here we are. Jesus suddenly appears with these two men walking along. God is keeping them from recognizing Jesus. And he says to them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short with sadness written across their faces. One of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that happened here the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. I don't know. You're starting to see the humor in it, as I am, amen? On its face, it seems ironic and maybe even sarcastically humorous that the man at the center of everything that had happened would ask that question. But as always, catch this now, as always, Jesus' question was probing for something greater, their faith. "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him." Imagine the look on Jesus' face. Really? They crucified him? "Yeah, we hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel." By the way, this all happened 3 days ago. It all seems so incredulous. We don't know who or what to believe. "We heard that some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning and that they came back with an amazing report. They said that his body was missing and that they had seen angels who had told them Jesus is alive." Imagine the look on Jesus' face. "You're kidding me. His body was missing and he's alive now? Wow. Yeah, some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Got to verify what the women are saying, right? Well, you know, I don't mean to digress, but it was Eve that sinned first, so. All right, ladies, don't throw anything at me, okay? I won't go there any further anyway. What the women had reported was verified. "Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, why do you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures? Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?'" Hint, hint, the ascension. "Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses." Get the picture on this. "Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining all the scriptures related to the things concerning himself." Wow. That had to have been the absolute best Bible study of all time. Amen? "Now by this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' And so he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it, and then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment, he disappeared. How amazing! I would have loved to be there. Make no mistake about it, the instruction of Jesus is transformational if we receive it into our hearts. Amen? We will see things for what they really are. That which is veiled becomes unveiled. Amen? And so now these two men said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" Have you ever had your heart burn within you as the Spirit of God is bringing the scriptures home to your heart? They were feeling the same thing, only this was directly from Jesus himself. We can have some of that now by the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? We can ask the Holy Spirit to unpack the scriptures for us and to bring it home to our hearts. Amen? And we can feel the same burning passion of the Word in us. Amen? To impassion us. To propagate the word of the Lord to the people around us. Amen? And so these men, within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." And then the two men from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly was standing there among them. He wasn't even out of breath. How amazing. Wouldn't you have loved to be there? Jesus simply said to them, "Peace be with you." Settle down. The word of the Lord to us here today is peace be with you. In the midst of all the anxiety that's swirling around us with this COVID-19 pandemic, Jesus is with you. Peace be with you. I decree that. A fresh impartation of the shalom peace of Jesus to be imparted to you now. Receive it now to settle you. Peace be with you. Jesus is with you. The whole group was startled and frightened, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts do not have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, but filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" So here Jesus is saying, "Okay, you still think I'm a ghost, right? Well, ghosts don't have a digestive system. So I guess if the wounds in my hands and my feet don't prove it to you, then I'm going to eat something and show you that I have a digestive system and the ghost doesn't." Amen? How many times the Lord reveals himself to us in one way or another, but we still have some doubt. We still find ourselves doubting. "Oh, Lord, show me one more thing. Oh, Lord, show me one more thing. Oh, Lord, show me one more thing." And I guess that can have some value if your heart motivation is to want to know that you know that you know that you know that it's the Lord. But if it's just doubt, well, I don't know if I really believe it. Believe it the first time. Amen? So here's Jesus saying, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Get the picture. How wonderfully amazing. Imagine all of these disciples standing around watching Jesus eat a piece of fish. Let's see what happens with this fish. Are we going to see it going down his esophagus? He had a resurrected body. Amen? Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the Scriptures. Here's another one of those amazing Bible studies, right? How many of you recognize that we have that available to us today by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us? And certainly there's some value to looking up in Bible dictionaries and concordances and this kind of thing. But I would encourage you to rely on the Holy Spirit first. Amen? The Holy Spirit first. Let's say that together. The Holy Spirit first. And then, as the Holy Spirit directs you, you go from that point. Amen? Endless books are written, endless concordances, endless commentaries. The bottom line is that we obey God's word and that we participate in His will for our lives. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and direct you into the reality of the heavenly realm that God has in mind for you. Amen? Get to the Holy Spirit first. Amen? And so here was Jesus opening up their minds to understand the Scriptures. He went on to say, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of His name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. That there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That everyone and anyone has an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Because Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected and ascended for everyone to have an opportunity. No one is excluded from that opportunity. Amen? Jesus went on to say, you are firsthand witnesses of all these things. And so now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. That was forecasting the day of Pentecost that would come about 50 days after that. Further documentation of Jesus' resurrection and subsequent ascension is recorded in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, picking up in verse 3 and following. Now, most Bible scholars agree that the book of Acts was penned by Luke. Picking up in verse 3. During the 40 days after Jesus suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as I told you before. How amazing must that have been to have seen him crucified and now sitting with him having a meal. I mean, just let that sink in for a minute. We read about it, but there's some value in us trying to transpose ourselves into that situation and say, wow, how amazing must that have been, and how would I have been reacting to that? He went on to say, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. Make no mistake about it, God still has a plan for Israel. Jesus went on to say, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere you go.
Are you telling people about Jesus wherever you go? Are you poised to give people a reason for the hope that you have wherever you go, especially in the times that we're living in now, with all of the anxieties and doubts and fears that are swirling around in people's lives? You who call yourselves by Jesus' name, are you inclining yourself to the opportunities that you have now more than ever in the recent past to give a reason for the hope that you have? Do you have your wallet or your purse stocked up with the Steps to Peace with God booklet, pamphlet to hand out to someone, or the May I Invite You card to get them to come into a place of aligning their anxieties with the Prince of Peace? Jesus has commissioned us to that, as he has commissioned his disciples then to tell people about him wherever we go, in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after saying this, here we go. He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. How amazing. As they strained to see him rising to heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But catch this now. Someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Hallelujah. That's what we have to look forward to. The Bible says it's going to be a great and a terrible day. The coming of Jesus is going to be a great and terrible day. How's that? It's going to be great for those who have come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's going to be terrible for those who haven't. Now, I believe that it's plain from the Scriptures that Jesus' ascension was the literal bodily return to heaven. And he's still in that resurrected bodily form. He rose from the ground where he was resurrected, right where he was standing, gradually and visibly observed by many intent onlookers. And as the disciples strained to catch a last glimpse of Jesus, a cloud hid him from their view, and two angels appeared and promised his return. It's a promise. He's going to return. We don't know the day or the hour of his return, but we can know the seasons that we're in. The Bible says, don't try to predict the day or the hour of Jesus' return. Only the Father in heaven knows that. And when the day and the hour has come, he's going to tell Jesus, go get them, go get my people. Bring them back here for a little while, and then I'll send you back to establish your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? We don't know the day or the hour, but catch this now. We can know the season that we're in. We can know seasons through the prophetic predictions of the last days. We can know, even now as I speak, that we are in the last of the last days. And we can see that many of the last days' prophecies are on the cusp of being fulfilled. Many have been fulfilled. Amen? It's his promised return. And it's the day of our blessed hope. No, make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. The ascension of Jesus Christ is consequential for many reasons. It signaled the end of his earthly ministry. It signaled the end of his earthly ministry. God the Father had lovingly sent his Son into the world. And now the Son was returning to the Father, and the period of his human limitation was ended. The ascension signified the ultimate success of Jesus' earthly work. All that he had come to do, he had accomplished. And it marked the return of his heavenly glory, since the fullness of Jesus' glory had been veiled during the time that he was here on this earth. With one brief exception, at the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration, as depicted in Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9. This is another scene that I would have loved to be in. The New Living Transliteration reads it like this. Jesus took Peter
and the two brothers, James and John, and he led them up a high mountain to be alone with them. As the men watched, catch this now, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. How amazing! What must they have been there to talk about? That must have been amazing to be there to see. And what were they talking about together? Hey, Jesus, how much longer are you going to be down here? We miss you in heaven. Me and Mo have been hanging around upstairs saying, when's he coming back? Look at all that he's going through down there. Peter cried out, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, and this was God the Father joining the meeting. This is my dearly beloved Son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. Are we listening to Jesus' instructions? If not, what are we listening to? There's a lot that can distract us in the world that we're living in. We have to make the decision to keep our eyes on Jesus, to focus on his instruction, and to listen to him, and to filter out all the other cacophony of counter-instructions that are flooding into our minds. The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's those three words again. Don't be afraid. Receive it afresh today. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone. And they saw only Jesus. And as they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Boy, that would have been hard for me to keep that story in. How about you? Can I tell you something? Just don't tell anybody else about it. Anybody here ever been in that position? I'm not supposed to say anything. But if I tell you, just make sure you don't tell anybody else. Anybody here ever been in that position? Well, if you're not supposed to say anything, then don't say it. Make no mistake about it. The ascension signified Jesus' absolute exaltation by God the Father, the one in whom the Father was perfectly well pleased, the one who was received with ultimate honor to be given the name above all names. God, by his word and by his spirit, affirms and encourages us afresh along these lines from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. The Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul to believers of his day, and the Spirit of God appealing to each of us today. I pray that each of you will understand experientially the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that has been made available to us by the Holy Spirit in us. Aren't you glad for that? The same power that seated him in the place of honor at God the Father's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. And it is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Amen? And the Word of God further attesting to the ascension from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Make no mistake about it. God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Let's decree that together. Jesus is Lord again. Jesus is Lord one more time. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Be encouraged afresh today to keep on keeping on in your walk with Jesus, because Jesus is Lord. And because the ascension was consequential, and that it made the way for Jesus to prepare a place for us with Him in heaven. Jesus foretold this from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. The New Living Transliteration reads like this: "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in Father God and trust also in me, that there is more than enough room in my Father's house. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." Hallelujah. Jesus went home to make a place for you to come home with Him. Amen? It's hard to wrap our natural mind around that. But we don't have to understand it naturally. We just have to believe it, because it's supernatural. Amen? The ascension signified the beginning of Jesus' new work as our high priest and mediator of the new covenant with God. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, affirms and encourages us along these lines from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. It goes like this: "So Christ has now become the high priest. He has entered that greater and more perfect dwelling place in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once and for all time." And catch this now: "He secured our redemption forever." Under the old covenant system, the blood of goats and bulls were offered as merely a ceremonial cleansing from impurity. Just think how much more, how much more, how much more the blood of Jesus Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God by the power of the eternal Spirit. Amen? Christ offered Himself to God the Father as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why He is the only one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all can have an opportunity, so that everyone can have an opportunity to receive the eternal inheritance that God has promised to those who would choose to believe. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 affirms and encourages us further along these lines, that since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, that being Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly, let us hold firmly, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Because we have such a high priest, let us hold firmly to what we believe without wavering. Because this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for He faced all of the same testings that we did, yet He did not sin. And so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, for it is there that we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Amen? Be reminded and encouraged afresh today that the ascension is consequential. The ascension is consequential because it set the pattern for Jesus' return. When Jesus comes to set up His kingdom of perfect righteousness and peace on this reconfigured earth after the 7-year tribulation period, He will return just as He left, literally, bodily, and visibly in the cloud. Makes me look at clouds a little bit differently as I'm going along the way. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 reminds us: "All glory to Him who loves us and has freed us from the penalty of our sins by shedding His blood for us. He has formed us into a kingdom of priests for God His Father. All glory and power to Him forever and forever. Look, He comes with the clouds of heaven. And catch this now. Everyone will see Him. Everyone on earth will see Him when He comes again. Even those who have pierced Him, and all the nations of the world will mourn over Him, catch this now, realizing their sin and their guilt and anticipating the coming wrath. The church will be raptured and spared the coming wrath upon this earth. Aren't you glad for that? The ascension is consequential in that it reminds us that the glorious and triumphant return of Jesus Christ is inevitable. And for those who have come to repentance, having submitted our lives to the salvation and lordship of Jesus Christ, it is a reminder of the kingdom of God within our hearts by the indwelling of the ever-present Holy Spirit in us and through us, comforting us, guiding and leading us into the truth, the reality of the heavenly realm, for what He has in mind for our lives by His Word and through revelation, knowledge, and wisdom. We can have a confident assurance of what He wants us to do and how and when and where He wants us to do it. To reach others for Christ. Are you poising yourself to reach others for Christ? It's not just all about us. It's about us following that commission of the Lord to reach others for Christ in some way, shape, or form. Amen? And to build up the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we reaching out to our brothers and sisters in Christ to build each other up, especially in these turbulent times that we're in? Especially in these times that foster so much uncertainty, even in the people of God. Are we reaching out to actually talk with people and to meet with people 6 feet apart from one another? We still have the commission to build each other up, knowing by the fact of Jesus' ascension that we belong to Him by faith and that we will one day be with Him forever. Amen? Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now to the Word of the Lord as it's come to you today.